It's good to be off of mute. It was me, brother. It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Just thankful for the opportunity and the privilege that we have to be here. If you will take your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter number 10. So we'll be taking some of our reading from this morning. Shannon will have a few other scriptures for us as we get into the message. Before we get into it, I got a couple of announcements. First of all, I'm going to do my best to get the dates right for our revival. I've been saying October every time that I announced it, but our revival is November 11th, 12th, and 13th. We'll be having the Sunday night service at 6 o'clock. Monday and Tuesday we'll be at 7, and Brother Randy Johnson from Marla Road. I just about forgot. I was going to have to call on you. Randy Johnson from Marla Road Baptist Church will be coming and preaching for us. Take some time and be praying for our revival that God will speak to us. You know, I do want to say this real quick, that there's a verse in the Bible that says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Okay, so last week while I was preaching, I was trying to say that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what I was trying to say. And in the midst of my excitement and my dumbness and everything else, I misspoke and said, "My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Well, I just want to say that Scotty Perdue was the first one to jump on it, and the Lord avenged me this morning. So I just want to thank the Lord for that. God is good to us all the time. But also, I had shaved my head, in case you can't tell, I shaved my head Friday. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about some kids that was making fun of Elisha because he was bald, or a prophet of God. And the Bible tells us that when those kids got to making fun of him, that there was a she-bear that come out of the woods and ate those kids. I seen Scotty at the ball game Friday night, and the first thing he said is, "My Lord, put a hat on." So if he gets gone and he's eaten by a bear this week, we'll know what's going on. It's good to be in the Lord's house. I'm glad we can have a little bit of fun in God's house, and I do, whether anybody else does or not. But also, I want to mention this. Before we leave today, we're going to be taking up a love offering for Alyssa Jones and her family. Alyssa is still in critical care down at, I don't think she's actually in an ICU unit right now. I think they've moved her out to a room, but she is still very critical down at Baptist Hospital, and we're going to take up a love offering for her and her family at the end of service today. So be praying about what God would have you to give, and we'll be sure that it gets to that family. Now, let's get into God's Word this morning. John chapter number 10, let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all your many blessings, God. And God, I just want to ask you this morning just to move in our service, God. We thank you and we praise you for all that you've done for us. But God, we ask you while we're here together this morning that you'll meet with us, that you'll speak to us through your Word. God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll help us to open our hearts to your voice, let you speak to us, and that we will react to your Word and will yield to your Holy Spirit. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that today will be the day that they come to know you as their personal Savior. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Renee Weddle's class has made it very, very plain that they're not one bit backwards last Sunday when we had their. So I want Renee Weddle's class to come up here with me for just a moment. Now they're going to act all shy and mope as they come up here. I need your help this morning to have this message have the effect, or to give the example that God wanted me to give. You girls know how to play follow the leader. Easy game, right? I mean, we've been playing that since we was this big. Okay, so I need a leader. Who's a leader? Somehow I knew. All right, so y'all play a little game of follow the leader while I read some scripture this morning. I don't care where you can go. You can go around the church. What's the main objective of playing follow the leader? To follow the leader. Good, good. And you follow the leader no matter what, okay? So wherever you go, Addie, if you go out this door and come back in that one and out this whatever, if you go up in the balcony, you got free range, okay? I'm going to read about 10 or 11 verses, and while you are, we're missing one. In the bathroom. Great. That's what you want your dad to do, is point out that you're in the bathroom from the pulpit. So y'all play a little game of follow the leader, and I'm going to read some scripture. I hope people can hear the scripture and see y'all too. Simple. Nothing to it. So start. John chapter number 10, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." I want you to know tonight that there is only one way. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Y'all better slow down. You're going to get tired. that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way that you can enter into heaven except through and by Jesus Christ. And I'm glad this morning that he is our shepherd and we are his sheep. And we have the ability to get in contact with our shepherd. And he is looking over us and he is taking care of us just like the sheep. Verse number 2, But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Aren't you glad this morning that the shepherd knows who you are, that the shepherd knows you by name? I'm glad that Jesus, to our government, I'm just a social security number that is paying taxes. To a bank, I'm just somebody that has a loan that I need to pay my loan. To people at work, I'm just somebody there that's filling a position and taking care of that. But I'm glad when it comes to the family of God that I have a God in heaven and I have a Savior, Jesus Christ, that knows my name. He knows the number of the hairs on my head. He knows what I'm going through. He knows my trials and my tribulations. He knows my burdens. He knows what's in my tomorrow before tomorrow ever gets here. I'm glad this morning that I got a shepherd that loves me and knows me by name. Verse number 3, to him the porter openeth, and sheep hear his voice, and calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Emma Kate, come here. Emma Kate. You want that? It's just a piece. Thank you. Go ahead. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear him. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out. You girls can go sit down. Thank you. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I'm glad that the Bible tells me specifically here that when I believe on Jesus Christ, it says that anyone that will come in this door shall be saved. If you go through Jesus Christ, you know what? Sometimes we want to get tied up. Now, don't get me wrong. Doctrine is important. There is doctrine that is very important, but we want to get so tied up in what name is above our church door and what affiliation we have and this and that. We want to get tied up in everything else. But I want to tell you something. The Baptist didn't save me. Just because I'm affiliated with the Baptist does not mean anything. Just because I have certain doctrine doesn't mean anything. But the name of Jesus Christ is what saved me. I went in through him, and that is the reason this morning that I stand here a child of God. He said, if you come in, you may be saved. Verse number 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. This morning, I want us to talk for just a few minutes. Is there anyone else in this congregation this morning besides myself that you sit and you think and you ask yourself sometimes, what does God want me to do? What does church want me to do? This past week, I've had some conversations with 7 or 8 people in our church, asking them to pray about something specific, asking them to think about something that I'm wanting to do in our church and I'm wanting our church to be involved in. And I said, I want you to pray about it and get back to me. And I got good answers from everybody. But there was one answer that came back to me, and I really liked the way that it was worded. This person said, I have prayed about it. I don't know if God has spoke to me or not, but I want to be involved. I want to do it because I feel like I should do it. Now, as we go that, how many times do we say as Christian people, I pray about something, but I don't know if God is speaking to me or not. I don't know if I'm getting an answer from God. I try to pray about everything. If Autumn and I go to trade cars, I try to pray about it. I try to seek God in it. If I try to make a decision with my professional career, I try to pray about it and try to ask God. I'm going to tell you one thing. I do know that Autumn speaks louder than God when it comes to trading cars. I will say that. She'll tell me what she wants. And sometimes, you know, I pray and I pray about those things, and I'm in the same boat with this person that I'm not sure that God is speaking to me on this. I'm not sure that God has given me an answer, and man, I want God to answer. I want to walk down there, and the car that I'm supposed to buy, I want it to have a big old cross on the hood of it that says, Josh, buy me. I want to walk in the yard of the house that I'm supposed to buy, and God have it mowed out in the yard. Josh, this is the one. This is the one God wants you to have. But it seems like sometimes when we're seeking for that voice of God, and we're wanting God to speak to us, that we just don't hear. That God's not speaking. But I want you to know that a lot of times the answer that we're looking for is already in God's Word. And God can point us to this in this scripture right here. I want you to know that I can tell you this morning what God's will for your life is. I can tell you right now, sitting here, because each and every one of you have the same Bible that I do. You have read the same scripture that I have this morning. I can tell you what God wants you to do. Let's go back for just a moment. Excuse me, I thought I wrote it down. Verse number, I can find it right here. Okay, verse number 4, I thought it was. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. I can tell you right now this morning that God's will for your life is for you to follow Christ. For you to seek Christ and for you to follow. And you say, well, preacher, now you're giving me a trick answer. No, it's really not a trick answer, because I'm going to show you some things that we'll find in following Christ that will answer some of these other questions that we have. We'll find here in some of these scriptures here in just a minute how that God tells us what we're supposed to be doing before we ever ask of them. Because you know what? They didn't have cars in the old days, so you're not going to get in here in the Bible and it say you should never buy a Ford. You're not going to find that in there. You're not going to find that you should always buy a Chevrolet or that you should have a Toyota. Yeah, you noticed how I did that, didn't you? So some of those answers, and you say, well, the answer is in God's Word. The answers are in God's Word, but they're not always written out like we want to see them. I'm trying to slow down and do a little teaching this morning. So as we look at this morning, you say, well, what's God's will for my life? God's will for our life is that we should follow him. In Matthew chapter number 4, you'll find that Jesus was walking one day and that he came and saw Simon Peter and Andrew fishing. And the words that he said to them, he looked at them and he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The Bible tells us that they got up, they forsook their ship, they forsook their dad, and they went and followed Christ. God's will for our life, I can tell you this for one thing for sure, I can't tell you what car God wants you to buy. I can't tell you what house God wants you to live in. But I can tell you for your spiritual life, God's will for your life is that you follow him. And that you follow Jesus Christ and the example that Christ gave us. But here, Simon Peter and Andrew, they were out fishing. He says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And the Bible says that they immediately left their ship and their dad and followed him. In Matthew chapter number 9, the Bible tells us that Jesus saw Matthew. And he looked to Matthew and he said, follow me. And the Bible says he arose and that he followed Christ. Now, I want to give us an example this morning of something. Sometimes the reason that I think that we're not getting more instruction from God than what's right here where the Bible says, follow me. Last night, we come in from a softball tournament, and I went to the couch, and I had my Bible out, and I was doing some more reading, and that lasted for about 15 minutes, and I told Michelle, I said, it's a wonder that I don't have ink on my face because I'm pretty sure I went to sleep on my Bible last night. But as I was sitting there reading, and this morning I was dreaming. I wasn't having a vision or anything like that. It was just a crazy dream because I coach so much. But for some reason, I was dreaming that I was coaching a high school basketball team. Not going to happen. I don't know if y'all can tell by my stature, but I never was a basketball player. But as I was coaching this basketball team, I had walked in. Now, this is all a dream. I had walked into this high school, and I was the brand new coach. And I was dressed similarly to what I am right now. And I walked in, and there was a bunch of 6'3" to 6'9" boys, and they was playing basketball for me. Very talented, state championship material. And here I am, and I'm going to start hollering at these boys and tell them how to play basketball. So first of all, I didn't have the respect from them that I should have had. So I asked them, we're going to do some drop step drills. We're going to do some slides, and we're going to do some drop steps, in case you don't know what that is. So I asked them, I said, do some drop step drills. And they was out there, and they was just all kind of lollygagging. They wasn't doing what they should have been doing. So I said, okay, guys, one time I'm going to give you an example. Here, I want you to follow me. Do what I'm getting ready to do. And I asked these guys to get in the line beside of me, and I started doing my drop step drills. And I would go to the other side of the court, and I would drop step. And I would go to the other side of the court, and I would drop step. We was just doing some simple defensive, some skills that they could learn to drop step. They're a state championship team. I don't know why I'm teaching them drop step, but anyway, I was. So in this dream, I look back, and these guys that are supposed to be following me in a drop step drill, Some of them are standing straight up. They're crossing their feet. They're not taking anything serious. So I stopped practice. Now, these guys being a state championship team, there's people all in the stands watching us. I don't know how long this dream was, but it was a whole lot of detail. There's a whole lot of people watching us from the stands do a practice. And I'm a white guy trying to teach all these people how to play basketball, and they can't understand why we're doing drop step drills. And I'm already having people holler from the stands, "Oh, I can't believe you're doing it. I can't believe you're doing it. Stop that." And everybody's getting upset at the little white coach trying to teach basketball. So as we continue on this, we get out there and I tell all the guys, "Look, it's not that hard. Do your drop step drills. Let's do it. Get out there and do it again." And went out there the same, lazy, just won't do it. So I continue for 30 or 45 minutes, drop step drill, drop step drill. They won't do it. So here comes the assistant coach, and he's all up in my face, "Coach, you're going to have to back off. These kids, they know how to do drop steps. They know how to play, blah, blah, blah." And I said, "Look, there is no point in me giving them any more instructions until they can follow the simple instruction that I have given them." End of my dream. I wake up with a verse of scripture on my mind, "Follow me." God has given us such a simple, simple instruction. Follow me. And yet we're praying, "God, show me what I should be doing. God, here, and what can I do? Should I be helping this one? God, show me, should I be doing this? God, show me, what can I do here and what can I do that? And God, what is your whole purpose for my life? And God, should I be doing this or should I be doing that?" And God has already said in his word, "Here is my instruction for your life. Follow me." And if we will follow Christ, everything else will fall into place. But I'm going to say this to us this morning, until we can follow the simple instruction that God has given us in his word of "follow me," there is no reason for him to give us any more instruction. There is no reason for him to try to advance us and get us deeper and deeper until we get to the place that we can follow the simple instruction of "follow me." So you say, "Well, preacher, how in the world do I know what happens when I'm following God? How do I know what's going on?" Well, I want to show you in the disciples' life. In the disciples' life, when they began to follow Christ, they saw the lame healed. Now, I don't know that we're going to bring people in here and heal them. That's not going to happen. They saw the blind made to see. They saw the dead raised back to life. They saw 5,000 fed. They saw other miracles all through the Bible. You will see the works of God manifest in your life. You will see things happen in your life that there is no possible way that you did, that only God can get glory from what's going on in your life. You will be able to recognize that God is working in and around your life, and we will stop taking credit for what God's doing. We'll quit saying that I'm providing for my family, that I have done this and that I have done that, but we will know, because we are following God, that God has given us all good and perfect gifts come from above. We will know that God is the one that's blessing our church, that God is the one giving the increase in our lives, that when things happen good in our lives, it's not because that I prepared myself, it's not because I went to college, it's not because I done all those things. It's because God is being good to me, and he deserves all the glory in my life because I'm following God. Well, how do I know if I'm following God? Well, first of all, you're going to have like-minded characteristics of Jesus Christ. You're going to have compassion for others. You're going to have love for others. You're going to have joy when you shouldn't have joy. You're going to have peace when peace is nowhere to be found. You know, I don't know whether you noticed that I said this, and I kind of said it on purpose two or three, which I And some of you probably picked up on it. I know my wife did, because she critiques me in the car sometimes after a message, which I really appreciate. And Scotty critiques me too, just in case. But as I was talking about me coaching the basketball team, I said "little white guy" two or three times. Some of y'all probably picked up on that. Okay, but let me get to it like this. Do you know that when God looks at us, that he doesn't see the color of our skin? And until we can get to the place that we can look past the color of people's skin, or how financially well off they are, or what little sector that they live in, and we can look past that and have the love that Christ has for each and every one, the Bible tells us that God so loved the world. Not that God so loved white people, or God so loved black people, or God so loved this color people, or that race, or this race. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Listen to this, that whosoever... Not rich people, not poor people, not anything else. Not Republicans, not Democrats. That's all a mess anyway. I'm so sick and tired of hearing that. But I'm glad to tell you this morning, with all that mess that's going on up there and all that mess that's taking place in our country, I want to tell you, these little youngins getting up here and singing for the glory of God, there's something going on right around here. Amen. But we got all of that mess going on, until we can get to where we can look past those things and say, I'm going to love like Christ loved. I'm going to have compassion like Christ had compassion. I'm going to have joy when things ain't going right, and I'm going to have, that's following God. So until I get to where I can follow God the way that he has instructed me, why should he give me other instructions? Why should he give me something else to do? And I believe with all of my heart that everyone here this morning wants to follow God in that capacity. If you didn't want to follow God, you wouldn't be in his house where you can feel his spirit this morning, where he can speak to you, where he can lead us and guide us and direct us. But you see, there's an issue. I believe deep down that every believer here in this congregation, we want to follow God. We want to be exactly where God wants us. We want to have this compassion, this joy, this love, this peace. We want to have that. But see, there's an issue. There's something going on that hinders that in our life. Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8. Verse number 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels. Also in Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 17. Contrary, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So the problem with us wanting to follow Christ is because our spirit on the inside, we as believers, we want to follow Christ. Our spirit wants to follow Christ. But just as the Bible tells us here, we have a flesh that wars against that. We have a flesh that is pulling against that. See, these little ladies, they was up here and they was playing a little game of follow the leader this morning, right? And they was walking all over the church and they was doing a good job. And I told them before they started, what did I say the point of this game is? To follow the leader. Well, I hope that we recognize this morning that God is our leader and that Jesus Christ is our example, and that's who we should be following. Okay, but as they was walking around the church and they was doing a good job, they made laps all over the place. You could hear them going up and down the stairs, and some of you were paying more attention to them than you are me, but that's okay. But as they were walking around the church this morning, they were doing a good job until Emma Kate come by, and I said, hey, Emma Kate, come here. An outside influence all of a sudden called to one of them. And I said, hey, come here a minute. And I held out a piece of chewing gum, and I said, hey, do you want this? Yeah, I want that. There was something that she saw was good here. There was an outside influence that said, hey, come here just a minute. And all of a sudden, hey, and I didn't even plan this part, all of a sudden when Emma Kate come out of line, and she come up here to get the piece of chewing gum, did you see what else happened? There was two or three that fell out right behind her. But see, what happens is we're doing our best. We're focusing on our leader. We're following Christ. We're doing our best to be exactly where he's at and following his footsteps and have the joy and the peace and the love and the compassion. But there's a great big influence out there saying, hey, come here a minute. Come here a minute. And what it is may not be anything bad. That piece of chewing gum was not anything bad. There's no X-lax in it or nothing. I didn't do any kind of joke like that at all. Go ahead and chew it, Emma Kate, and make sure. So there's a little outside influence saying, hey, come here. Come here, I've got just a little something for our spirit. You know what that is? That is our flesh lusting against the spirit. Our spirit knows that I need to follow God. I need to follow. But so many times there's that outside influence, whatever it is in your life, that's saying, come here just a minute. And it's not bad. It's not something that everybody's just going to say, oh, that's terrible. It's not something that's going to kill you. It's not something that's going to destroy you spiritually. But what it does is it takes your eyes off of the leader. It takes your eyes off of what you're supposed to be following. It takes my eyes off of Christ. And all of a sudden, I go up here, and I get my little piece of chewing gum. And you know what? I open my little piece of chewing gum, and I put it in my mouth, and I begin to chew it, and it is satisfying. It tastes good. And I'm like, ha ha, I got a piece of chewing gum and the rest of y'all didn't, because y'all stayed following the leader. But see, I got out and I followed my flesh for just a moment. I followed that outside influence and I got a piece of chewing gum and everybody else didn't. But I want to tell you something. That little piece of chewing gum that I gave Emma Kate is going to be good for about 3 minutes. And when the 3 minutes are going to be stuck with and all the sugar runs out, she's going to be stuck with something that she's got to get rid of. She's going to be stuck with something in her mouth that she don't even want to chew on anymore. It's hurting her teeth. She just cannot, no possible way that she's going to keep that in there for any kind of long period of time whatsoever. And I think that we need to understand as Christians this morning that 99% of the time when this outside influence begins to say, come here for a minute, what we get a hold of is going to be good for a short period of time. What we get a hold of is going to satisfy for a short period of time. It's going to bring a short moment of happiness. But when we realize how far we have got away from the leader by going after this outside influence, when we realize that I have got away from God because I let something pull me away from my leader, I got away from following what I'm supposed to be following, that sweetness is all of a sudden going to become bitter. That sweetness is all of a sudden going to be something that you got to get rid of. That sweetness is all of a sudden going to become something. You missed out on a little bit of following the leader because you went with the outside influence. Now, I want to tell you something this morning. I've been guilty of that outside influence. They follow me when I know where I'm supposed to be following Christ. He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. I've been guilty of following Christ and knowing exactly where I need to be and an outside influence calling, and I take my eyes off God and I go find that small, quick moment of satisfaction. Well, preacher, what are you preaching about? I don't know what it is in your life. I know what it is in my life. I know what that outside influence is that says, come here. But can I tell us this morning, church, that it's not worth it? It's not worth it for us to look and say, you know what, I'm going to take my eyes off Christ for a minute, and I'm going after this outside influence. I'm going after whatever it is in the world. I'm going after, and like I said, you know, so many times we want to talk about drugs and alcohol and sex and everything else. It's not always that. It can be just something, whatever it is, that pulls you away from God, that pulls you from following God. It can be anything in this world that keeps you from following the leader. This morning, if you want to know exactly what God's will is for your life, God's will for your life is for you to put your eyes on God and to follow Him. Not follow every step of the way and not let this outside influence call for you. Not fall into that trap. Well, preacher, this ain't quite as exciting as what you've been preaching. I can't help it. I believe it's something that I need this morning. Because I want to tell you something. When God begins to bless our lives and God begins to bless our church, Hannah, if you will, come on, get an invitational song, please. When God begins to bless and we get to where we're following that leader and we're getting up real close to the leader and we're making every step that we're supposed to be making, this little voice on this outside gets louder. The voice out here begins to call more. Our flesh lusts against our spirit. You know the times in my life that I have walked away from God? That was not my intent when I took my eyes off of Him. My intent was to continue to follow God. And sometimes when that outside influence begins to call, maybe in your life it's money. Maybe in your life it's pride. Maybe in my life it's money or pride or position or power, whatever it could be. When that outside influence gets to call and you look and you say, well, that's not bad. It even looks good. It looks like this is going to be good for me. But if it takes us from following God to taking our eyes off of God, then we're all of a sudden, we're missing the simple instruction that God give us. Follow me. The Bible tells us, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. It's not easy. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And in multiple situations with the disciples, when Jesus spoke to them and said, follow me, they forsook all. Now let me ask you, if God spoke to you this week and said, I want you to sell absolutely everything that you have, I want you to give it to the church, and I want you just to trust me, how many would do it? I mean, God better write that in the yard if He wants me to do it. Because I don't know that I have that kind of trust. I don't know that I have that much faith. Because when you get right down to it, we want to find, maybe you're like, but our flesh lusts us against our spirit. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you're like me. And you can either look at a time in your life where you said, you know, I want to follow God. This outside influence got to calling me and I walked away. No, I'm not drinking and doping and doing all those awful things. But I know I'm not following God. And I know God can't give me more instruction until I follow the simple instruction. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in that place. Maybe you know that you've walked away from God. Can I tell you this morning that we are so blessed to have a Heavenly Father that loves us so much, that He hasn't give up on you, that He hasn't walked away from you, that He is not He's not saying, I don't want you anymore, but He's saying, look, just turn and come to Me. I'll take you right back, and you can go back to following Me. Because there are times in my life where I have to do that every single day. God, help me follow You. I'm looking to the outside influence. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. Again, this morning, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I want you to look into your life. I want you to look for just a minute. Are we following the simple instruction? Follow Me! Or are we still warring between the outside influence and our spirit? Is there a voice calling to us saying, come on, get out of line for just a minute. Let something else become a little more important than following the leader. If you're here and you're in that shape this morning, I promise you that God loves you and that God wants to restore that relationship. If you're here this morning and you've never known Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He gave His life for you. He is the way, the truth, is the only. And if you do want to make it to heaven, asking Jesus Christ to come into your life is the only possible way. Hannah's going to sing here in just a minute. You can lift your heads. Hannah's going to sing. I ask you to stand to your feet. I don't know where you're at in your spiritual life. You may be so close to God that there's nothing in between you. Or you may be like me. There's no time like now. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, because we don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. If you need to come and you need to talk to God, God help me not to listen to that outside influence. God help me not to get out of line. God help me not to quit following the leader. This altar's open. I ask you to come and talk things over with God.
He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name.
Amen. Thank you for your attendance, for your attention this morning. I appreciate you being here. Hey, the only thing I know this morning is I just tried my best to give you what God gave me. And sometimes it's going to be hallelujah, and sometimes it's going to be, God help me, is all I know to tell you. Or you can pray that I don't eat so late and have weird dreams. I don't know which one to tell you.